Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
welcome to Snacky Tunes. We are one. We got a busy show today. Happy New Year. We have our food guests coming in right now. Surprise! You really didn't take an episode off, although you claimed that you were going to.
I did. I took off the Momo thing. And this is just a surprise for the new year.
Yeah.
We're very excited. We're actually in between holiday functions. We had services this morning, quick break. Now we're going out to Jersey to see Mom and Dad. Why don't we get everybody right in? We're very excited. This week is a jam-packed food week. Come on in. We got microphones for you right over here. And first up, we have... I'm going to butcher this because it's Italian and my Italian is absolutely terrible. But Elisa Rizzetto?
Well, yes.
Did I nail that?
It's it.
So. Yes. Hi. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. Greg, you can pull up a seat. Okay. We'll have...
another Greg.
We have another Greg. Yeah, this microphone is working for you right here.
We are very excited because La Fooding is back in town.
Yeah, we're excited as well.
Starts Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you take us through it? You're the professional.
Well, we're doing this Brooklyn tour this year. We'll pay a tribute to Brooklyn incredible culture. And we'll gather chefs, artists, musicians for like 5 days non-stop Brooklyn tour. But we start with Veplico dinners. And we'll have brunches at Night Talk Cinema with Brooklyn movies. Then lunches at the flea market. And we'll close our tour with a campfire session on the 23rd with a lot of DJs, artists, chefs, local vendors, and it will be like a crazy feast.
It's going to be crazy, and everything starts on Thursday, right? Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday starts.
So what was the decision to shift to like... a focus on Brooklyn this year?
Yeah, it's just something that we noticed that a lot of new artists, DJs, chefs for sure, are who with great ideas are now based in Brooklyn. And this is an area where in the past people were not coming so often. And we noticed that there is this trend also in the east sides of worldwide cities, like in the east of London, in the east of Paris, where all these really talented guys are emerging with super ideas. And so we're gathering all of them here in Brooklyn, because they have like they have no restraints. They're free to express themselves, and we appreciate this freedom. And because it let them come out with super new things.
it's this whole sort of across the board Young Turks, new generation.
Yeah, most of them are very young, but we have also older chefs like Pierre Hermé or Alain Sandrens.
Sorry.
And, sorry, if you want, I'll put.
Yeah, we're just hearing phones.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
And now we have. Mainly young chef, but also older ones like Pierre Hermé, which was called by French Vogue the Picasso of pastry, so he's like a superstar in France, and a very also Alain Sandrens, which is a bit more aged. But most of them they're really young, and they have great ideas to express. And also, most of them are based in Brooklyn, but we also called their Brooklyn-minded alter egos, and so we will join hands and do something special for us.
Yeah, so you're bringing the, I think, the Young Turks from London, and Naki from Chateaubriand in Paris.
Yeah.
Tell us, what are some of the events that you're really excited about? What's the hot ticket?
Well, I think the dinners will be amazing, because you'll really see it's a more serious thing. People will sit, will have a proper dinner, and so we'll have four courses dinner with champagne, Veplico flowing every day, and this will be like something unique, because you'll have the chance to taste recipes from chefs who come from both the US and overseas. So unless you travel and go to see them, this would be impossible to have here.
I mean, especially Spring, which is one of the hottest restaurants.
Yeah,
in Paris.
It's in book.
Impossible
to book.
Which event is that?
It's the dinner with Daniel Rose of Spring Restaurant. He will cook with Neil Arden and Alain Sendrens at Mob Dinner, Maimonides of Brooklyn, which is the dinner that we'll have the third day. And it will be an amazing vegan dinner with the chef who will do a vegan menu with a veggie burger. And
which is amazing because, I mean, vegetarian dinner, fine, but to promote a vegan dinner with such high-level chefs, like, that's it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime type of meal.
Yeah, I think so, because now vegans are becoming much more numerous, you know. I don't know if I'm sorry for
that's
my
right.
English.
That's fine. There's there's a myriad of vegans on the rise.
Yeah, and usually people forget about them, so we had also the eye on everyone.
I don't know if they forget about them.
No, but there are not a lot of vegan events, I think, all around.
There's not a lot. I mean, and I might misspeak and we might get one angry email, but I'm saying, like, vegan menus of this high caliber, usually it's like a very specific type of, you know, potluck type of things, and this is really going to elevate it to a whole new different type of level.
Yeah, sure. And so I think it will be like a funny vegan dinner, because the place is incredible. It's been designed by Cyril Aguizera, which is also the designer of Mama Shelter in Paris, and I think it will be really incredible.
And you're also doing a dinner at Nighthawk, which is fun because it's film and food.
Yeah, it's not dinner, but brunch.
I'm sorry, a brunch.
Yeah, we'll have like the resident chef Russell Daugherty and the Ignacio Spitarte from Paris. We will join hands and we will use local products and also Nespresso coffee to do this brunch, cinematic brunch inspired by the movies we're gonna show. And we'll have on Saturday Night Fever, and on Sunday the Warriors.
So. Oh, Sunday's the Warriors?
Yeah.
I'll take us to Saturday. I'll take us to Saturday.
Oh god.
but I've seen the Warriors in the cinema. The thing. Are you guys gonna do two folded pieces of pizza?
Pizza?
No, that's
no.
The,
sorry.
The opening scene is Saturday. Anyway, never mind.
Sorry.
Never mind.
I'm Italian. I don't speak Italian.
No. So where can people get tickets? Are there even tickets left?
Yeah, there are some tickets left.
I bought a ticket this morning to the brunch.
Cool.
So there's still tickets.
Yeah, for the brunch, yes. Dinners are sold out already, but we have like a free list package which includes dinner, also lunches, brunches, and the campfire for $100. So it's much more convenient, and so people can also buy tickets through Freelist or through our website, which is legrandfooding.com.
And for people who have never done a Le Fooding or like a 5-day epic eating event, what tips do you give them for like navigating? How to handle it?
How to be ready for a fooding event? Well, just dress smart and come very hungry with a lot of energy to dance, to have fun, to meet new people. I think it's a unique experience, and everybody, also everywhere you go, people enjoy it so much. So I think just with a smile.
And there's also a really strong music element to it as this year.
Yeah, so the campfire session will have an amazing lineup. We have Mike D, Angie Wyatt, who will perform with Hisham Baroush, who is an indie Brooklyn artist, and also Frankie Rose from
Love Frankie, who's been on the show a few years ago.
Cool, wonderful. And Dave Wan of Chromio. So.
Oh, is he's DJing or playing live?
I'm not sure about DJing. Okay,
I'm sure I'll be DJing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
I know we have to turn you loose because we have taken like 15 minutes of a PR person's time the week in the event, so
I have to rush.
Yeah, we can hear yourself blowing up, but thank you. Thank you to Anna as well, who I know is dealing with TPA stuff, but best of luck. We'll see you this weekend.
Sure. Yeah.
Champagne glass in hand.
Cool.
And coming up next, we have Greg Baustead, who's going to be talking to us all about beer and how it changed the world and this awesome event happening at Public Assembly this Thursday. What do you got for us, bro?
New track off the new Grizzly Bear record, Shields, called Speakin' Rounds on Snacky Tunes.
Awesome.
If I draw you upside down, I can't let go. Use my mind at ease. what makes each step worth the time and regret still shows. In the cradle of my unruly chest, you belong.
I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
We're back.
Oh man, we are back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You're gonna have time to throw your sins in the river between now and Yom Kippur?
Yeah, the river by our house on Grand, and I guess the water is like littered with bread of sins past.
I better make sure that my dog does not eat it. Well, we are here with Greg. I said your name right last time?
Greg Bousted.
Bousted, that's what I said. Greg Bousted, who I always run into at Tiki Disco, which was totally nuts yesterday. Absolutely insane. But Greg is here. He is a journalist, a producer, and otherwise troublemaker around Brooklyn. You look like you were on good behavior yesterday. You've written for Seed Magazine, Wired, Vice, Scientific America, NPR, and you are one of the curators for Etc. 2012 Festival, which is a unique series going on this week. Yeah, this week at Public Assembly in Brooklyn. Big shout out to Ben Sisto.
Yes.
That's just as a man.
Yes.
What is Etc.?
Well, first, before we get started, can we acknowledge this room for a second? I mean, this is crazy. What's going on in here? It's just 1 second, and then I'll talk about Etc.
Two shipping containers, a boar head, and a dream.
I'm sitting in between drums. I'm a big fan of the show, and I never realized you guys were working under such duress. This is awesome.
It's a big band set.
It's a big band, and we're balancing holidays and a work. It's a big day today.
This is cool. So I'm sitting in between drums and I'm talking about beer. Etc. Festival, it's going on. It's a week-long festival. I think it's 35 events. Big shout out to Ben Sisto indeed. He's managed to bring together a unique blend of the arts, of music, experimental music, edifying talks, weird talks, talks about sex, talks about robots, and really cool late-night parties. One event in particular that I want to talk about is How Beer Changed Everything, which is this Thursday at 7 p.m.
That's also my autobiography for my college years.
I think maybe a lot of us.
Yes. So that's all I got. I don't remember much more than that.
Okay, so How Beer Changed Everything. It's pretty remarkable. The two folks we have, which I'm really excited to have on board, I pleaded with them for literally months to beg them to come up, is Sam Calagione, and he's the founder of Dogfish Head Brewery.
And who had one of the most amazing New Yorker profiles ever written.
Yeah, that's right. It's really cool.
It's really good.
He goes to the ends of Earth to really create some positively unique drinking experiences, which we'll get to in a second. His sort of partner in crime is a scientist by the name of Patrick McGovern. Patrick McGovern is the foremost expert on ancient fermented beverages. Which is a weird title, but it's true. And what he does is he uses chemistry and modern tools of biomolecular archaeology to recreate literally thousands of years old beverages. You know, these are like artifacts. These are using kind of DNA fingerprinting, so to speak, radioisotope carbon dating. He looks at, you know, tombs, digs in Egypt. They're able to use traces of beeswax, hydrocarbons, to figure out the recipes of these beers that ancient people drank, and it turns out drank in large quantity, actually.
I bet this sounds like the Jurassic Park of beer drinking.
He's actually called the Indiana Jones of fermented beverages, is his nickname.
Close enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Just close enough.
So yeah, they're here to talk to us, and they're going to... this Thursday, they're bringing up some of their unique brews, some ancient ones, one from King Midas. And they're also premiering, this is a special premiere of a specific brew that they're really excited about, they've been working on. It's a pre-Roman experimental beverage, Etruscan people. It has ground hazelnuts, pomegranate, myrrh. Go look that up, M-Y-R-R-H. It's a crazy, crazy brew, and they use engineered yeast. And people will be able to sample that for the first time this Thursday.
Wow, that's amazing.
And how good are these things? Like, I understand the historical importance, but are these things that actually want to...
It's like Cascale. Like, I remember when that came out, and I was like, oh, I'm going to try it. And I was like, I don't really know if I love this versus just, like, I'm trying this.
It's certainly an experience. And in my experience, my unbiased experience, I would say some of the brews that I've tried from their project are... They range from absolutely delicious to absolutely bizarre to just curious. Right. But keep in mind that they choose the ones that are a little bit most palatable to our palate. But you know, the interesting things about these guys is, you know, you have the founder of one of the fastest growing brands in beer, and then you have this esteemed scientist. They approach their work not like a group of colleagues, scientific colleagues, or even like a... sort of brand trying to target market the next cool hip product. I mean, it's testament to the vast money losing ventures that they go on, from setting out sugar baited petri dish traps in date fields in some remote field in Egypt overnight in order to capture airborne yeast to recreate the yeast that might be there for this recreated beverage, to, you know, ordering countless barrels of Palo Santo wood from the rainforest in Paraguay.
Oh, as one does.
Yes, yes.
You can Google that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's on Amazon?
I think so.
Anybody?
No, I got it.
You got that joke?
It's not very funny.
It's, you know, it really is their testament to their complete dedication to create a unique drinking experience. And what really drives them is the passion. It's not, you know... A lot of these things are very unique, and they're really just for the experience and try to reconnect to our inebriated history, if you will.
And I mean, I like it. You know, again, like, none of us are thinking... I also have the mind that, if something was popular, it kind of would have been passed down and preserved for, you know, after a certain mind. So this is just kind of like, I think, it's a good way to taste, you know, where we started and to see how far we've come.
Well, that's a good point. In fact, one of the major points of this event is not only to taste these beverages, but really to get at a larger radical question, and that is beer itself, beer, responsible for civilization itself?
I mean, that question's been posed so many times.
With so many, and with so many different ingredients. Salt, cod, remember that series of books?
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess without giving away the milk for free, yes? No?
Well, the evidence is pretty striking. A lot of the evidence, particularly from Dr. McGovern's work, suggests that hunter and gatherers, so our hominid pre-man species, what they did is they started cultivating grain specifically to create a beer-like substance in mass quantities. And the argument suggests that they actually... abandoned their hunter-gatherer ways to cultivate these grains specifically to create beer, and therefore became they had to take care of these crops, and we evolved from a hunter-gatherer society to more of a civilization. And that's the argument, and it's a pretty good one, and you'll learn a little bit about it if you come check out the talk. Actually, they make a much more convincing argument than I can.
All right, so let's give the nuts and bolts, how people can come and attend this thing, run it down for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's 7 o'clock at Public Assembly. It's free, actually. Samples while they last, and it's going to be interactive. It's going to be fun. This won't be a lecture in the sense of a conference. We're going to be drinking beer. We're going to be laughing. You're going to have a chance to actually talk with these guys, which is pretty rare at a lot of these events.
It's really rare. It's really, and that's the best thing. So, a lot of beer nerds coming out?
I suspect so, yes.
And what's the thing that you're most excited about? What's the one thing that people should really... Because sometimes these things can be overwhelming. What would you say the one thing that people should really go and look for at this event?
I really want to check out this beer, Truska. I haven't tried it yet, and it sounds from the early accounts they're finishing up the keg now. I hear it's supposed to be really good. I also want to I want a chance to be able to rap with them and talk with them about all their beer experiments that went wrong and hear a little bit about their most recent trip.
That's such the good stuff, especially with Dogfish. I mean, he is not ashamed to try something new and have it fail just to try something. Have you been down to the brewery yet? Or,
like, down in Delaware? No, I haven't yet. It's on my list to do.
Road trip?
Yep, I think so.
All right, we got to do it. All right, well, thank you so much, Greg. We'll be there on Thursday. I'll be there on Thursday. You going to be there on Thursday?
I believe I will be there on Thursday.
Okay, so we'll see you there. We'll try some ales. We're going to do a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to get the band in as we eat this delicious pizza.
We're going to play another track from Sinkane, who is the opening, who alters the opening track, will be our live band today. And then we're going to play a track off the Charles Bradley record, which is also amazing.
I heard that album's a slam dunk.
Wow. All right, here we go. I mean,
every time I think that we've had a band that is squeezed in here, someone comes in and steps in. And they fit in.
I mean, let's just go through the gear in the room. We got an amp. We got a ton of amps outside.
Three amps.
Congas. Two floor toms.
Drum
pad.
Vibe.
Own mixer.
Some other
vibes.
A bass. A sound guy.
Sound guy. I kind of like that you described your drum machine as vibes. With his vibes right there.
Litany of pedals.
Vibes. Yeah, we got a lot of pedals in here.
I don't see
them. They're there. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Our first fall guest. Although it's still kind of summerish outside. Who are you guys?
The name of the band is Sin Cane. Brooklyn band. I'm here with Mikey, Freedom Heart, Ish, The Man of Steel, Aaron, and J-Tram.
So why don't you give... our listeners a little background on where you guys come from, how you came together.
I started the band a while ago.
Oh, introduce yourself too.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm Ahmed Gallup, and I write the music for the group. And I started the band almost 7 years ago. I was living in Ohio. I'm originally from Sudan. And I put out two records and kind of got picked up by a bunch of different bands to tour, so I kind of put the group in the back burner. But then I moved to New York, and I decided I wanted to move on forward with this project, so I revamped it. I met J-Tram when we were playing in Yesair together, and through, you know, living in New York, I met Mikey Freedom Heart here, and he brought along the rest of the crew, Ish and Aaron Steele.
So when you pick up a group after, you know, you have two records and you go on tour with a bunch of them and come back, you know, what did you learn and bring into this time around that was different from the first time out?
Oh, man. Well, I had like the blessing of touring the world and really kind of see a bunch of people do the right thing and a bunch of people do the wrong thing. So, I mean, it really puts a lot into perspective. I know what I'm getting myself into now. When before I was like 23-year-old kid, didn't know anything. I was just kind of making music all willy-nilly, and now it's giving me a lot of focus, you know?
No names, but examples of one person doing the right thing and one person doing the wrong thing. You can choose which is first.
Yeah, choose whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, but no names. We don't call people out.
Mr. X and...
Well, yeah. I mean, I've worked with a lot of really, like, super, super organized people who just... are very honest and straight up. I mean, that's one big thing I've learned, is to be straight up and honest. And if you're not straight up and honest, then it creates a lot of anxiety and tension. And that's just, I mean, I guess that's all I can really say. I mean, the right thing is to be honest. The wrong thing is to drink too much.
He's talking to me.
Get it together, Mikey Freedom Heart.
God bless.
But so now that you're back in Britain, so how long has this incarnation been together?
Not even a year. I mean, Mikey and I and J-Tram, we started playing together in what, like December or
January? It was
January.
After the only snow that happened last year, so it was either
in January.
October. No, it was the last weekend in October.
Yeah,
the 28th.
Yeah, it started a little like slow. I was touring with Eleanor Friedberger at the time, and so I didn't really have as much time as I do now. And then we had a few bass players that we played with, but Ish came through in May, and we've been playing with him. And then just for this, because we want to do something special, we brought Aaron along. But
yeah, why don't we get a tune? You guys need like what, 10 seconds of noise and then start it. How do you guys feel?
I think we're
sick. Jack,
how do we sound out there? Can I get a thumbs? Okay. All right, so let's get for the room, and then we can start.
All right. I'm gonna start over. I fucked up.
Two. That was our test.
Three. Thank you.
blindness of a way. We are lighting up, we all light up in the face. Feel your blood warm up, falling drunk in love and stay. They're just starting up, never too much of a day.
You guys are going to do us a big disservice because now everyone's going to want to bring all this gear in because it sounds so good.
It's like,
go big or go home.
It's one guy on acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of effects.
That vibes pad is really putting out a lot of vibes.
Oh,
really? Oh.
Vibes pad comes on the next one.
Oh, okay. That is amazing.
That's a really amazing sound.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of live mixing here. It sounds awesome, guys. So, now the band's together. New record, right?
Yeah, the record's coming out next month, October 23rd on DFA.
Oh, okay. So how did that come about? Or what was the recording process, since you guys have only been together for less than a year?
Well, I played drums on it, but and other people came and did random things.
I recorded it pretty much by myself. I did maybe 85% of the record myself, and then in the process of recording, because I played so much with J-Tram, I just kind of had him come in and redo pretty much all the drums. And Ira from Yesera came and he recorded a little bit on, he redid some bass. And my friend George, Twin Shadow, he ripped a pretty gnarly guitar solo on the record. And
special guest Shred.
So,
you know, it's interesting you say that because I was listening to the opening track we played, mm-hmm. and I was like, there's such a Yesera vibe to this. But in your own way, but the opening is just very strong, Yesera-esque type of thing in all the best ways possible.
I just tried. I just kind of figured that's what was gonna happen. So I just I was like,
which track is
it? Jeeper Creeper. Decided. Ira plays on that song.
Yeah,
actually.
Which is the best way that you can have a Yesera sounding song is by having the dude from Yesera play. That kind of squashes all type of.
All I just kind of, call a spade a spade, I guess.
No, it's good. And so then how did the DFA thing come around? Shout out to John.
Yeah, actually, I think John might be listening.
And shout out to Chris.
John and Chris. Hey, guys.
They John was formed. Grew up listening to DFA records. Geeked out on John when he came on the show.
Oh, nice. Yeah. He's a lord. He's a true lord. what happened was I released Jeeper Creeper and Runnin' on my own, and just kind of the whole Runnin' thing. It did a lot better than I expected, and just randomly in April I got an email from him, and he was really interested in the track, and he said he wanted to hear some more music, so I sent him the record and he really liked it, and it just kind of, one thing led to another. It's pretty cool.
I mean, is it really just that easy?
No, it's really not that easy. But
one of the things we like to show on kids that it is. I mean, you can play it off of that easy, but it wasn't that easy.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the record's been done for almost 2 years,
right?
And I've gone through like many, many different ups and downs with it, and it is finally now just starting to like see the light of day. You know, I'm just I've heard the music so much, and playing it live has really kind of given it new light, but it's been done for a long time.
I mean, what, you know, for musicians who've been at it but maybe been toiling in a little bit of the unknown, and now having being able to come on DFA, it's like, can you like share one of like your lowest of lows and like to the point that you actually got through it and got to the other side?
Oh man.
How long do we have?
We got a couple minutes for that answer.
The lowest of lows, man. Well, I recorded, man, I when we stopped playing with Yesair, it was kind of J-Tram and I, we had like a year off before we started everything, and I didn't really have anything in the pipeline at all, and the record was finished, and it seemed like there was some interest, but nothing really happened at all. And I had like a few rehearsals with a bunch of people that didn't really work out, and I didn't really know at all what I was doing. I didn't know like if anything was going to happen. Ryan here, my roommate, like has always been like pretty encouraging and excited about everything I've been doing, but I don't know, man. Like when you're around to a lot of like really creative and talented people that are succeeding so well, and your project doesn't seem to be succeeding on that level, you sensationalize all your feelings, and you think like I had like, you know, 80 cents in my bank account and was living in New York, and you know, was in a really crappy relationship with somebody, and you know.
So you're saying
and
roommates
all changed.
Yeah. Roommates, bandmates got you through it.
Yeah. These are like this is like my family, you know. Everyone here has really been super encouraging and exciting.
I mean, I feel like it's important to share those stories alongside the I got the record deal that's coming out next month, just to kind of give a little hope to all the people who are writing good music and toiling alone, that like everyone feels those lows. Like there's not a single person that has not felt that epic soul-crushing low.
I once lost the Yesair band computer on tour and thought I was going to get fired. And
it was after you set J-Tram's pants on fire.
Yeah.
How did you lose it?
I set J-Tram's pants on fire. I lost the band computer, and I was...
There's a longer story to that. We don't have
time.
Was that part of the drink too much advice?
That wasn't drink too much. That was... another
why don't
we'll leave it at that. All right, let's do
drugs.
Yeah, don't do drugs. Let's rip another song. How about that?
Okay,
what are we gonna hear?
We're gonna hear "Running," the song you played a little bit earlier.
Great.
I don't mean to let you down. I gotta keep on running. Until my body's all but broken down. Gotta keep on running, running. Keep on running.
So many vibes. Can we get one of those applause sounds, please, in the room? Just
that one?
I couldn't hear the vibes. That was the problem.
Yeah, the vibes can be felt all around. That was amazing.
Some New Year's vibes.
So you have some upcoming shows, right? You just got done with the residency at Zebulon.
Yeah.
How is I love that place. And actually, your vibes fit quite well in Zebulon.
It was a vibe. That's definitely what it was.
They sell the best.
Each time we say that word.
What you say? There's
shout
one more
out,
Z.
Shout out to Caveman.
I enjoy their potato chips they serve at Zebulon's. They have certainly good bagged potato chips.
Really?
Yeah, their potato chips are great.
Right?
Every week.
The mozzarella sandwich.
Yeah. They actually have surprisingly, secretly good bar food.
Yeah, they do.
Really? Yeah. It's a bunch of French guys, right, that own it?
Yeah, they're the French Bohemian.
French.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
When you say French Bohemian, I just think like a carafe of wine in hand at all times.
Yeah,
no, I think Zebulon is definitely a place of older Brooklyn.
Yeah,
like it's a movie thing, jazz, DJ, cafe.
Yeah, older Brooklyn. Yeah,
older Brooklyn like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah. We live
not older like shootout druggy Brooklyn.
No,
yeah.
We live right down the street from there, and it's always a scene.
Don't blow up our spot.
I mean, our spot's getting blown up by a wrecking ball in 3 months anyway. Yeah. So
that's the new Brooklyn.
That's that new.
So where are you? Where you coming? You're playing a couple shows in September, right?
Yeah, we're playing Music Hall of Williamsburg on Sunday the 23rd with Lee Scratch Perry, which we're all really
no big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah,
we're playing at Death by Audio on the 27th with Sana Ra, and we're playing the DeKalb Market. They're having a big blowout party at the end of the month on the 30th.
So who's playing the DeKalb Market Party?
Man, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good place.
Yeah.
That place is, it's like this place.
It's also shipping containers. It's all shipping. Yeah. Have you been out there?
Yeah, we go. Mikey lives right next to it, so we always grab coffee. And there's this really awesome place that makes these, like,
chicken biscuit sandwiches.
Yeah. That are just so
can you please elaborate?
Sandwiches. Yeah.
Please elaborate. Like, is it the biscuit and the chicken in there? Or, like, what makes it so?
Chicken's biscuit.
The buttermilk biscuit with chicken gravy biscuit and fried chicken in the middle.
Some coleslaw.
You guys cook a lot? You guys got your places to eat on the road?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. Bill's in Brighton. Brighton, England.
That's
is
the only spot.
One of the...
Bill's?
Yo, shout Bill's. Out to Sheets.
Big up the Bill's.
Yeah, what's Bill's?
Bill's is like a... It's like a really awesome like market, like a farm market place. It's like everything is organic and everything is
and
really,
it's always changing. Big lofty spot, you know.
You can go in there. You go in there. It kind of looks like just like a farmer's market, but with a lot of tables. Everything is just really fresh and delicious. And when you go on tour, that's the one thing that kind of blows your mind because you're eating like mustard packets and Coors Light all day.
See, it's a shot of mustard and the Coors Light, right?
Yeah.
Like a lime with a ketchup chaser. Awesome.
Really so let's get all the nuts and bolts. Where can people find you? Where can people get your music?
Website, Friendster, lipsticks and cigarettes profile.
You always make Friendster. That joke, and it always works.
It's a new band every week, and they haven't heard the other shows.
check out our podcast.
Yeah.
Sinkane.com.
Sinkane.
You know, Sinkane Twitter, Sinkane Raw on Facebook. What else?
Well, and then DFA.
Records, yeah.
When's the release date?
October 23rd.
Can you pre-order?
Man, this should be coming up pretty soon. Chris, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I know he's listening.
Well, how about we say that if they email Chris, I'll put him on the pre-order list.
Yeah.
And
he'll really enjoy that too.
Release party? Dance party?
October 23rd, we're playing a show at the Brooklyn Bowl.
Oh, perfect.
So,
fried chicken?
So much
fried chicken. Yeah. Hey, here's my question to you. What is your process of eating when you play Brooklyn Bowl? Are you a before show eater, or do you gotta wait till after?
Yeah. Well, I really like the fried chicken, and I gotta do that afterwards or else.
We're clearly divided on this.
I'm kind of like a wingman during the set type of thing, just... You know, in between.
Yeah, I like.
I get greasy fingers.
Yeah, I get a dozen. I get, you know, six on table one, six on table two. But yeah, it's so tempting because you're there for so long and you know you want to dig in, but that's.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That's the reward.
It is a very good place to eat.
Three more songs till chicken wings.
Yeah.
Two more songs till chicken wings.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm
at. One more song to Boozy Milkshake, right?
I can only... I can't do that one. That's the ender. If I have that, then
That's on the way out. Margarita in one hand, boozy milkshake anyway. All right, one more song, then we're out.
Yeah,
then we're off to Jersey.
Off to Jersey to the aunt's house for Rosh Hashanah. Thank you guys for all coming in here. This was totally worth all the effort.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, what's the last song called?
It's called Young Trouble. This is a new joint.
Oh, and hold on, sorry. One big shout out. Tomorrow night up at Dinosaur Barbecue, Marcus Samerson and a whole bunch of Harlem chefs are doing an incredible, incredible, incredible food event. Check it out. It's going to be awesome.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I jacked it up a little bit, so we're going to
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio.
You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.